And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Revelation of Christ and the Battle of Armageddon. I shall read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the wonderful Word of God. We thank Thee for the blessed hope that we have of the coming of the Lord Jesus. It is now our prayer that as this broadcast fills the air, that many hearts will be blessed because of it. Those who are listening today, whose hearts are disturbed, who are in sorrow and tragedy and loss, who have problems and difficulties, we ask that this broadcast would especially bless them. For those who are without Christ, may they come to know Him. Bless, we pray, in the message that it will stir the hearts of people and bring revival in our day. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. I begin reading at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Revelation of Christ and the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible establishes clearly the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as an actual fact of history. It is an undeniable, indisputable, irrevocable truth. The message of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is interwoven throughout the entire fiber of biblical revelation. I feel very strongly about this because I believe every word of the Bible. I accept without hesitation and without reservation the verbal inspiration of the Scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, word by word, syllable by syllable, and letter by letter. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming visibly, bodily, and personally. He is coming even as He went away in the cloud of Shekinah glory. The brilliance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be brighter than the noonday sun. Jesus Himself spoke of His coming like this, "As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man." This is no allegory. This is no fairy tale. This is no fable or fiction or fantasy. This is no dream or delusion. This is the truth, just as true as God is true, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the heavenly bridegroom, is coming again. Therefore, in the midst of a world gone mad, I admonish you to look up, Christian. Christ is coming. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be in two phases. Phase one, His coming will be in rapture for His saints. It is described as a thief who comes in the night, unexpectedly and unannounced, very suddenly and without warning. In phase two of His coming, He will come in the revelation with His saints to establish His kingdom of righteousness and peace upon the earth. This coming will be openly, visibly, publicly, victoriously, and triumphantly. As it is written in the book of God, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." It is of this coming, openly and publicly, in Revelation, to establish His kingdom that I now speak. In my text, I see a magnificent word portrait. It is a many splendid picture. Jesus Christ is herein pictured as coming on a white horse. To the Oriental mind, the white horse was a symbol of war and conquest and victory. Jesus Christ is herein called faithful and true. What an appellation for the Son of God, and how magnificently He wears it. His eyes, John says, shall be as a flame of fire, penetrating and piercing with the exactness of the divine judge. Upon His head, it is said, there shall be many crowns. In the days of His flesh, there was but one crown. He was crowned with a crown of thorns at His crucifixion. Then, when He comes in Revelation glory, He shall wear many crowns, crowns of royal diadem, crowns that shall be bedecked with the jewels of heaven. Let me ask you, shall He not wear the crown of deity? He is the divine one. Shall He not wear the crown of righteousness? He is the righteous one. Shall He not wear the crown of faithfulness? He is the faithful one. Shall He not wear the crown of mercy? He is the merciful one. Shall He not wear the crown of love? He is the altogether lovely one. Shall He not wear the crown of life? He is the living one. Shall He not wear the crown of victory? He is the victorious one. John says, His name no man knoweth. This is His divine name. It is unspeakable. It is uncommunicable. It is unpronounceable. But then there is the name Word of God, the name by which we know Him. We read the same in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the name Word of God is the name by which we know Him. John says His vesture shall be dipped in blood. This will be in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63. There Isaiah prophesies that He will come with His garments sprinkled with the blood of His enemies. When he is asked where this blood comes from, he answers, I have trod the winepress of the wrath of God alone, and my vesture is sprinkled with the blood of mine enemies. His army is described as the armies of heaven, made up of all the regiments of the redeemed of all ages. Out of His mouth, John says, goeth a sharp sword, and with that sword He shall smite the nations of earth. His title shall be in that day, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He was born in Bethlehem, the wise men came and asked the question, where is He who is born King of the Jews? When He was crucified, Pontius Pilate had placed over His cross the inscription, this is the King of the Jews. In life and in death and in His magnificent coming, He shall be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold, He cometh in victorious array. Behold, He cometh with 10,000s of His saints with Him. Behold, He cometh, and His reward is with Him. He comes not then to be born in a manger as a creature. He comes to give birth to a new world as the Creator. He comes not to convict with the gospel. He comes to conquer with the sword. He comes not to die on a cross. He comes to live on a throne. Why such a scene as this? Why such majestic glory as is described in the Revelation? Why is He coming with such an array of might and power and glory and majesty? The answer is found in verse 11. He is coming to judge and to make war. War is not evil in itself. It is the circumstances that bring about war that are evil. Our God is a God of battle. He is described in the book of Exodus as a man of war who will fight your battle for you. This is the final battle of the ages, and we now are making preparation for that ultimate, final, worldwide, universal conflict that we call the Battle of Armageddon. He who leads in this war is none other than the conqueror of conquerors. His name is Jesus. He is a mighty man of valor. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Commandant of heaven. He is the Captain of our salvation. This war that Jesus Christ will lead and will win is known in the Scripture as the Battle of Armageddon. It will be the final conflict between good and evil, between light and darkness, between truth and error, between God and Satan. This battle, the Battle of Armageddon, is spoken of throughout the Holy Record. Joel speaks of it in his 3rd chapter, verses 9 and 10. Zechariah speaks of it in his 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul speaks of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 10. Three questions arise concerning the Battle of Armageddon. 1. Where will it be fought? 2. Who shall be involved? And 3. What will the outcome be? The first question, where will the Battle of Armageddon be fought? The Battle of Armageddon will be fought in the Valley of Megiddo, stretching from north to south, 200 miles in the land of Israel. There, Barak fought against Sisera. There, Gideon fought against the Midianites. There, Pharaoh fought against Josiah, king of Judah. There, Shalmaneser, Sennacherib, Sargon, Tiglath-Pileser, Nebuchadnezzar, and Alexander the Great fought against their enemies. There, General Allenby defeated the Turks in 1918. Napoleon said about Megiddo, "It is the most natural battlefield on the earth." So the Battle of Armageddon will be fought in the Valley of Megiddo. The second question, who will be involved? This war will involve all the armies of the nations of earth. The central city will be the city of Jerusalem. The central nation will be Israel. This will be the last attempt on the part of Satan and wicked nations to annihilate Israel, the people of God. In Zechariah 12:2, we read that Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling to all nations. In Zechariah 12:8, we read, "The Lord shall defend Jerusalem." In Zechariah 12:9, we read, "God will destroy all nations that come up against Jerusalem." And then in Zechariah chapter 14, at verse 3, we read, "Then shall the Lord go forth to fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." The crisis in the Middle East today is setting the stage for this ultimate conflict. Even though Egypt has expelled the Russian experts from her shores, yet the preparation is being made with the Arab nations and with Israel and with the nations of earth for this final conflict. The nations are now gathering in the Mediterranean to lay siege against Jerusalem. The navies of the United States, of Britain, of Russia, of France, and of the other nations of earth are steaming through the waters of the Mediterranean toward Jerusalem, just 30 miles off the coast of the great Mediterranean Sea. So as we read the newspapers, as we listen to our television news reels, and as we listen to the radio newscast, we can see the prophecy of the Word of God being fulfilled. In Zechariah 14:1, we read, "That in that day I will gather all nations together against Jerusalem for to battle." In the year 586 BC, the Babylonians gathered against Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed it. In the year 70 AD, the Romans gathered against Jerusalem under Titus and destroyed it. In this final battle, the armies of all the nations of earth will gather in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Jezreel, the Plain of Esdraelon. All the armies of the earth will gather there against the city of Jerusalem and against the people of Israel. The kings of the north shall be there, Russia and her satellites. The kings of the south shall be there, Egypt and the United Arab Republic. The kings of the east shall be there, China and India. The kings of the west shall be there, the United States and her European allies. From north and south, from east and west, the nations of earth shall be drawn into the Valley of Jehoshaphat to war against the Lord. The third question, what will be the outcome of the Battle of Armageddon. These armies from all the face of the earth will converge upon Israel. Just before they deal the death blow, there will be an intervention from heaven. Our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, will appear. When he appears, the brightness of his coming will destroy and demolish the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the kings of the earth. It is so written in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 16, in chapter 14, and in chapter 19. As we bring these verses together, we see clearly the conflict between the nations of earth, inspired by the Antichrist, that will be in conflict against the Lord's Christ. And Jesus Christ shall come in Revelation with his saints and destroy them with the brightness of his appearing. This will be the Battle of Armageddon. It will be over in a flash. Jesus Christ will be the victor, and the hallelujah chorus of heaven will sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." So today, we wait with patience to hear the sound of the distant trumpet that will signal the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you today, as you listen to this broadcast, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He real in your life? Do you know Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin? If you do not, I admonish you to bow your head this moment, right by the radio, wherever you are. Pray the sinner's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And in that moment, instantaneously, Jesus Christ will come into your heart. He will forgive your sin and make you ready for His return. This is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. Tomorrow may be too late. I admonish you to trust Him today and know Him as your own Lord and Master, and wait with patience for His return, first for His own, and secondly with His own, to establish His kingdom upon the earth. Are you ready? If not, you can be just now by your simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we invite you to come and share the blessings of the Lord with us here at Worth Baptist Church today. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.